Welcome to another episode of the Skokie Pod. Here with my boy B Plot for another Monday morning quarterback pod. How are we doing today, B Plot?
We're good. It's a beautiful fall day. We've got no complaints, right?
No complaints. Yeah, beautiful day yesterday. Beautiful day today. Sunshine. I'm actually sitting here outside right now enjoying a beautiful morning here. Sun shining down beautifully. So.
The fantasy points are aplenty for the pick six pickles. That's all I got. That's another mood I'm in.
It's a good morning. For somebody who was in fantasy depression, ladies and gentlemen, just a short 2 weeks ago on this pod, he's feeling pretty damn good after he snuck away with a victory point last week, and now this week looking like one of the top scoring teams. Maybe high scoring team. Is that right this week? Is that right?
I think I inked it out. I think Tom Brady was trying to get as many yards as possible late in the game, and he got me ahead of Aaron, but I'm going to enjoy the victory because there's probably not going to be too many more the rest of the season. So I'll gladly take it.
Of course. Yeah. So humble. So humble for somebody who had no running backs on his team. We'll get into a matchup in a couple of minutes. But yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely was another pretty crazy week of NFL football. I mean, the England game, which is normally like a boring ass game, was actually a great game in its own right. Another double doink. I didn't think we'd see that again in our lifetimes. I don't know if you saw that.
Gets Cody Parkey off the hook.
Yeah.
Now everyone will remember the double doink from London. Fantastic.
Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't say that because that was a 60-yarder, and he already had made a 60-yarder. So I think Cody's was like, what, like a 45-yarder or some bullshit like that?
And it was in the playoffs.
But nonetheless, yeah, another crazy week of football, another crazy week of fantasy matchups. Our league, again, kind of, you know, a lot of teams kind of up and down as it's been throughout the season, and we'll get into that in a minute. But we're, you know, I think we should kind of get started off the bat by just kind of bringing up, you know, one of our people who's probably going to be a guest here on the pod pretty soon, a player that was one of you and I's top picks to be one of the top teams this year, and somebody for the first time not setting their lineup this season. So why don't we get started with the Skokie Indians Rackleman matchup, and let's talk to you about what happened this week.
Yeah, Mito's team definitely started on top of the mountain here, and he's kind of made a couple of moves leading up to this week that have kind of spun his team in a tailspin here. But he's going to come away with the victory, probably because he kept his mouth shut and didn't share his opponent advice with his opponent to set his lineup. Big Danny decided to do something a little bit different strategy, but we'll get into that later. But yes, Mito's going to come away with another victory. He's got Mahomes and Herbert are going to carry his team throughout the season. You know, that was why we ranked him so high, because he had such a good 1-2 punch. But he's going to sneak away with a victory, probably because not that Steve had an option where he would have won if he would have started someone over St. Brown. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, the reason obviously I'm bringing this matchup first is this is our first point of the season where we have somebody who, you know, forgot or neglected to change their lineup. I mean, obviously we know this is for fun, but hey, to me, this is also competitive. If I sit down at a poker table and I'm playing a sit-and-go tournament for $150, I'm competitive. I care about winning it no matter what, whether it's a game or not. That's just the way I am. So the bottom line is, like, I was of a proponent preseason where I actually voted for elected to have a rule that I proposed where anybody who didn't set their lineup was like an automatic $25 fine. That way it added to the prize pool. That way it was like no vote, just concrete. And I was very surprised it got voted down, because so many people complain about people not setting their lineup, especially when it's playoff time. And here we go, early in the season, you got a team that's a contender. And, you know, Fiala, we love you, obviously, and we know you're busy. But, yeah, I mean, to me, there should be an automatic fine. I mean, it's we're trying to be competitive here. And, look, tonight it's still going to be close. Fiala still has an outside chance, but the projections have him losing by 6. If you would have put anybody there that would have gotten 6 points, this could be a very close matchup tonight. So I think that even though, yeah, his bench players got 4, 5, 6 points, Tyler Boyd had 6 points, that could have been a win right there. So
yeah, and he couldn't have played Tyler Boyd, though, because – St. Brown was called out on Saturday or Sunday morning, and Boyd played on Thursday. So, but he could have picked someone up or moved him on the IR and picked someone up.
He had Noah Fant on his bench, who had 6.7 points. Right. Yeah. But anyway, nonetheless, we're not going to harp on Fiala. It happens. I mean, I'm just bringing up that point because I do think that we should try to institute that just to make it more of a thing, to make sure it takes 5 seconds to check your lineup and just make an update. But we're all busy. But nonetheless, you know, in this matchup, Skokie Indians did take the win. Now, to bring up something else before we move on to the rest of the matchup, let's bring up the competitive spirit of letting somebody know that they're missing a player. Because I know, you know, so Danny, Big Danny, to his credit, or maybe to his non-credit, depending on how you look at it. In the morning, kind of let me know that Alvin Kamara was still on the bench, which, you know, whatever, I pay attention. I appreciate it, Big Danny, but I was going to look at it anyway. And then, you know, Patel's a busy guy. He just had a kid. Probably didn't even know Amon St. Brown was not in the lineup. Unfortunately, didn't get a chance to let Raffleman know. And Raffleman, you know, kind of had him in the lineup. So you kind of have that competitive, non-competitive advantage. Like, what's your take on that whole thing? Like, kind of letting people know about their people not having people in the lineup.
I don't know. I think Daniel goes out of his way to make him look like he's the nice guy. I want everyone, you know, a fair chance. But then he calls out like participation trophies for most points given scored against. So I don't know. I'm confused on the whole situation. I would never tell my opponent that he needs to change his lineup. Like you said, we're playing for money. Like, I want every advantage I can. And like, yeah, I might still lose to him if he doesn't set his lineup. But like, I'm not gonna decrease my chances of winning by telling him. Like, we're playing for money here. So that's my thinking on it. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't go out of my way to do it, but that's Big Danny's choice.
In some ways, I see your perspective where, like, by I'm in your division, by letting me know, even though I was going to change it anyway, I kind of make that change where Fiala's in the opposite division and Mito's a team that's a competitive team in our division, that, you know, obviously there's an advantage there. But at the same token, you know, Big Danny's being an honest guy. I'm the proponent where everybody could just do whatever they want. If you don't say anything or if you forget, like, I think most people probably just aren't paying attention to their lineup because they're busy with their families and such. But whatever.
Sure.
I mean.
Big Danny goes out of his way.
No, yeah, he did let me know pretty. You know what? I'm gonna send an invite right now. Big Danny, I'd love to get you on the pod here. Maybe next week. We'd love to have you here for at least maybe a nice chunk segment. Just we can hear from you, buddy.
Yeah, I'll keep taking shots at him until he joins the pod and defends himself. We all love
each other in the end.
Of course. All right, let's get back to the football. We talked about that matchup. You know, Steve does have a chance if Stafford has a big game tonight. I know San Francisco has got a pretty solid defense, but the Rams could go off at any week. And if it's a high scoring game, Stafford definitely has a chance to catch Mitchell. You want to move on to the next game? You can pick which one you want to start with.
Yeah, let's move on to the most collective point scoring matchup, the highest scoring matchup, even though you're probably going to have high points for the week. King John Kirkpatrick and Mutton for Sutton, really, really good classic battle here. And it's going to be tight still. I mean, Mutton for Sutton, you know, Russ finally got cooking. That was going to be the key for AK's team this year was, will Russell Wilson finally be himself, finally look good against the shitty Raiders defense yesterday, had a big game. And, you know, Sutton's been looking really good the last couple weeks, so that's a pretty good stack for him there. So, you know, AK's team has kind of been on the edge of kind of being a contender. And if he gets that aspect cooking like he did this past week, I definitely think that things are looking good for him in the right direction for him. Kim Jong, very kind of Jekyll and Hyde team this year, just like he was last year. And it's going to be competitive still tonight. You know, Ayuk can definitely be put up a touchdown and put up some yards. And it depends what the Rams defense does. So it's up in the air. I do think AK hangs on tonight. And I think AK kind of is moving on to bigger and better things here as his team is kind of on the up and up.
Right. I think the difference with Aaron's team this week was Eckler, like that first round pick, his great keeper value and all. Getting 31 points for him was huge because the rest of his team is going to give you, like, Kelsey's going to get you, you know, somewhere in between 10 and 20 points every week. And, you know, his wide receivers are pretty solid. I know McLaurin was, you know, fell off, but Aaron's team's going to be competitive every week. And he is every year. He's pretty high scoring. He just kind of lays an egg in the playoffs because doesn't click for him. I don't know. He's got bad luck. I don't know. Maybe he should, get a new horseshoe or something. But on the other hand, Terps' team, I think his team is overall pretty solid. He's got some pretty good running back depth. You know, he got Rashard Penny has these weeks where he goes off, and usually people have him on the bench, and he started him on the right week, and he still had guys on his bench, you know, Hilaire that wasn't like a great start, but he went off, and Dobbins now looks with Justice Hill being out, Dobbins might have more of a workload. So Terps' team is looking pretty solid. Even though he lost two, he still has Kirk on the bench, so he's still got two startable quarterbacks. So I don't know. Terps' team is looking pretty solid, but he might not come out with the win tonight. I don't know unless Ayuk has a couple of huge plays. It's going to be pretty close. You still think Aaron's going to pull it off?
Yeah, I think Aaron's going to hold on. Really quick, Terps' team is looking out. Dobbins obviously on the bench. He's starting to look really good. So, yes, his team's looking a little bit better and better. The one thing I will say about Terps is, the one thing I did not understand this week is, starting A.J. Dillon over Clyde Edwards-Helaire or starting Ayuk against a tough Rams defense over Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, yeah, it wasn't the best matchup last night, but anytime you have an explosive offense, I think you got to go with the player that has the biggest chance of being at the goal line, and that was for sure him. So, not trying to rock you, Terps, but I thought that was a bad decision, but we still love it. So, but anyway, yeah, we'll see what happens. It should be close. The matchup that is probably going to be the closest tonight to be decided, unfortunately, is my
own. Big Danny.
Papa Smurf versus Big Danny, also known as Team WTW at Wilson to Wilson. I don't know if whoever was watching Red Zone yesterday, there was a Wilson to Wilson reference by Scott Hansen, but he said Willie to Willie, just so you know, because they called the play Willie to Willie. But anyway, this is going to be tight. It's going to come down to the wire. I actually had Romeo Doubs in at the last minute. I switched him out for Juju Smith. And whatever, we'll see. I mean, I think it cost me 4 points in the end. That might cost me tonight. It's still going to be tight. Cooper Kupp usually scores a touchdown every game, but we'll see what happens. I don't really like my team. We kind of have to rely on another team not scoring a lot of points. We're putting up like 120 a week. And unfortunately, Josh Allen should have had a touchdown at the end, but they decided to just kind of kneel the ball, which is kind of bullshit. What it is. So, what are your thoughts? You think we have a chance of hanging on tonight against this tough San Fran defense?
Yeah, of course you have a chance, but Cooper Kupp is Cooper Kupp, so. I would always bet on him to come through and for my team at least. But you still gotta like your team's kind of performing pretty well. Josh Allen, your anchor. But I like Jacoby Brissett as your even though it seems like every week they're scoring in the 20s and he's fine rushing touchdowns and stuff. So he's pretty solid for that. But yeah, it might be a tough night for you to watch you slowly lose your lead because Cooper Kupp is just going to keep catching the ball throughout the night. So it might be a slow, painful game for you to watch tonight.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a bit of a win for Big Danny the way my luck usually is. But we'll see. I'll tell you one thing. We're definitely going to have a big hedge bet on a Cooper Kupp anytime touchdown tonight. That's for damn sure.
Nice.
One quick thing on Big Danny's lineup. Big mistake by Big Danny, and he was questionable coming in, but leaving 37 points on the bench, TJ Hockenson, 37.9, huge week against Seattle's defense. He was projected to have a huge game, and Higby has not been bad, and I know he was questionable, but I'm very surprised that he left that on the bench. Thankfully for me, obviously, because it's been over by now, but we'll see what happens. So
yeah, I would definitely start Hockenson, especially with Brown out and Swift out. I think of those are the three playmakers, and if those other two are out, they're going to try to get him involved as much as possible. But I think he might still pull it off. I don't know. Just keep the ball moving.
So keep the ball rolling here. Yeah, well, before we get to the lower scoring matchups, the biggest blowouts, let's talk about the highest scoring points of the week. We brought that up earlier already. Obviously, pick six pickles. B-plot, having the best week of the season so far, probably going to be the high-scoring week. Looking good. Hey, Kyler Murray and Tom Brady both finally doing what they're supposed to do. And, hey, man, for a team, I got to give you credit. Not trying to kiss your ass on air here, but because you had absolutely no running back depth, pretty good. Pierce is looking like a monster all of a sudden. Jamal Williams was on the back. I kept seeing him sitting there on every single fucking waiver wire for the first 2 weeks. And because the stupid IBM Watson thing said, oh, don't pick him up yet. Like, he's just a touchdown vulture. Didn't do it. Should have done it. And look now. He's been one of the best running backs with DeAndre Swift's injury. So credit where credit's due, man. Done a good job plugging the holes. And after getting this shitty victory point last week, they're back up and in it. So.
Yeah. Jamal Williams was definitely interesting. I don't know why Neitel didn't have to scoop him up because that after the first week I spent all my money on Wilson and even DJ or Henderson and then Jamal was still there and I didn't know why no one had picked him up and I just needed to get a lottery ticket and I guess I picked him up definitely think Neitel having Swift and having him know that he's kind of an injury prone guy probably should have had him as his handcuff. But Jeff's team put up a better man. His team he's got all the players that can go off. They just haven't been clicking. He definitely does struggle with his quarterback position. Those are the performances this week. Probably like a ceiling for Matt Ryan, the way way that team moves the ball. And, you know, Tannehill is still missing A.J. Brown to really reach his ceiling. But, yeah, Smell's going to kind of bring up the rear with the other team that we haven't talked about yet who just can't score fantasy points. Fred and Grant Edeppen continuing to get W's, the hottest team in the league now.
Yeah, the way of the shark, the combination of G and Edeppen, G.E. Deppen, we can call them. Absolutely, yeah, they've been hot, you know, rocking our division, unfortunately, and looking good. Grant got off to a great start last year and doing it kind of again. And, the Mike Evans, beast, Geno Smith, I mean, that was a great pickup. I mean, I'm not sure if he drafted him or if that was a waiver wire pickup or not, but either way.
I think it was a waiver wire pickup.
Yeah, it probably was. Yeah. So best quarterback. I think he was the best quarterback fantasy wise this past week. So, Grant's team's looking good. He's making the right plays. You know, Lamar should have had a better game, but the Buffalo defense started playing well towards the end of that game. Not to get too much into regular football, but what the fuck are the Ravens thinking, by the way? I don't know if you're watching that game, fourth down and goal and then a tie game and they're not kicking a field goal. I mean, absolutely the most absurd thing I've ever seen. But anyway. And on the other end, Team Suvasuv, Suvasuv didn't have a bad year last year. And this year, unfortunately, kind of wet in the bed, just struggling. I mean, the biggest problem with his team, obviously, is the guy he spent $70 on. It was Jonathan Taylor, who everybody thought was going to be the best player in fantasy again. And something's going on there where he's just struggling. And I don't know if he's too many miles on him last year. The QB situation for Fred's team is tough. Carson Wentz, unfortunately, is not the best starter to rely on. And it is what it is. Fred's team's looking like he's going to have a tough year, but you never know. He does still have Nick Chubb on his team as one of the best keepers. But yeah, another blowout win for G. Deppen.
Yeah. One concerning thing about Deppen, though, with Javonte Williams' injury, it doesn't sound good. I know he'll be out at least a couple weeks. And Connor really isn't getting the workload that he needs, and the Cardinals just aren't running the ball into the end zone like they were last year. So his running back situation might need to be addressed as the season moves on, because he's really only got, you know, those two guys, and now Javonte's out, so he doesn't really have a running back. So maybe a trade. Maybe Edeppen will get on the trade. I did get another offer from him, but it had nothing to do with getting – oh, wait, he did want one of my running backs. But, maybe there might be a trade going down between myself and Edeppen. Hopefully I don't take too much advantage of him.
Good. Edeppen, very multi-talented.
Yeah, kid knows everything. All right, man. I guess the last team, another very, very low scoring team, and a team I crowned, you know, top dog in this league, shit the bed this week. He's still got a couple plays left, but he's not even close to break 100 this week. And Bastard's team, who kind of laid a little egg last week, showed up again big time. What are your thoughts on that final matchup?
Yeah, Tony's team was looking like the number one team, and, everybody lays an egg on occasion. It happens. But, yeah, a big egg this week, though, as he's projected to get 83 points. Hurts just didn't look good. Cooper, you know, he's had Cooper on his bench all these weeks. He finally plays him, and he puts up 1 point, of course. But, yeah, it is what it is. I mean, I just think it's a one weird week thing. I still think Tony has a pretty good all-around team. So I must say, I thought Tony didn't know what the hell he was doing when he drafted Saquon for over $50, but Saquon is the leading rusher in the NFL right now, so I'll give him that. But Bassey's team, man, very sneaky. Again, another solid team in our division. Our division is just fucking stacked this year. It's unbelievable. And it's one of those things that Bassinger's team is just he's got a lot of depth. Yeah, good pickup with tight end for Gerald Everett. I mean, he's been pretty solid. Miles Sanders has been solid. I mean, Daniel Jones has been one of the better quarterbacks, although he just got hurt last game. We'll see what pans out with that. But, yeah, and this brings you to a quick point, too, where I kind of think, I know we're all in each other's divisions, but there always seems to be a theme of a shit and good division every year, I feel like. And I'm not complaining, but I feel like it's kind of unfair where, like, the one division gets to play each other more. We should try to – I don't know if we can alter the schedule, but there should be more interdivisional matchups. There should be more –
I think the victory point was supposed to make up for that, because you're still competing against everybody for that.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, that is what it is. I mean, it's all random for the most part. But hey, you know what? The bottom line is we all love you, sir. But when you took me first instead of taking certain people first, you kind of made the divisions the way they are. So it's all good, buddy. It's all good.
But that brings up a point about, you know, maybe complaining about some other things about the schedule. Our future guest brought up that he's upset that he doesn't get to play Fred twice a year or at all this year. You and him got stuck with the rot end of the deal. Was Aaron behind this, making the schedule and purposely not playing, matching you up against Fred?
I don't think so. I don't think AK has that much evil and evil craftiness in him. So it's all good.
That was definitely a joke, but Mito did bring up the fact that he doesn't have Fred on his schedule. I think I complained about that 1 year, and then I got like absolutely smoked by that person that I didn't get to play. So after that, I said, okay, maybe it does just let the schedules be how they are.
Yeah. It is what it is. I mean, it's all random. I mean, it's all big deal. We're obviously just joking around. I mean, I would like to see more parity throughout the years, like instead of always having like one good division, one bad division, but it's all good. It seems to be the theme that we get stuck with every year. So it's all good. It's all competitive and, it's all fair. That's all that matters in the end. So, big Monday night game tonight. Still a lot of, a few matches to be decided. So we'll see what happens.
I think there's one more victory point. We'll stick with that name because I don't know what else to call it. But between you, Danny, and I think, is it Jeff? The third guy, two out of three of those will get the last victory point. One guy's going to get left out with it. And that, could it be 2 weeks in a row for you? That'd be pretty rough.
Yeah, I know. I had the Giants defense last Monday, and they didn't do anything. It was pretty pathetic, you know. But what are you going to do?
You're just going to keep playing. Wait, work the wires, and then hope that next Sunday goes better. Me and you got our big matchup next week. After week two, I was afraid it was going to be the battle of the 0-8 teams, but both of our teams kind of turned things around. So it's a big matchup for us.
Your team has turned things around. Big Danny and I's matchup tonight is a season-saving matchup for either of our teams tonight. It's really big tonight, so we'll see what happens. So. Big Danny, you're more than welcome to come over if you want to watch together.
That's awesome. All right, man. Well, enjoy your week, and we'll talk again next week.
Yeah, before we go, I'm going to do a little quick power rank rundown because I haven't given anybody a written one, if that's okay, really quick.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Yeah, and just before I do that, too, I just want to make one quick mention really quick. We didn't mention the Bears at all. I know we like to mention them on each broadcast. Very pathetic. Yet another Chicago sporting team that is franchise that is just absolutely terrible. The one thing I will say is, Mitch, even though he was overdrafted, a lot of people said maybe they ruined him and he could have been a Pro Bowler. Benched last week for Kenny Pickett. He sucks, so that wasn't, whatever. Still a bad draft pick, but I got to say, man, Justin Fields, I don't think he has it. I don't think he can read defenses. Give him the rest of this year. If it doesn't work out, we got to move on. I think it's another wasted draft pick, and I think this team's going to be in disarray for years. Anyway, let's get to the power rankings on a little bit of a happier note before we end our segment here for today. A little bit of a change at the top. Team Weitzman, I love you. You're great. You're one of a kind. But that was quite the egg that was laid this past week. I'm giving way of the shark. I'm putting him at the top. Just consistently putting up 130, 140 every week, close to 150. Way of the shark to me is the top team in the league right now, giving it to them. I am going to put Team Weitzman in the second spot because they still have the lead in that division. Obviously, still a pretty good team overall for the most part. I'm going to keep Skokie Indians at three. Still a very good, solid team, very good depth. But a team that's kind of really moving up in the standings this week is Mutton for Sutton. I'm bringing them up to four. Great week. Russ is cooking again. Eckler's back. I think Mutton for Sutton is a team that's on the rise at four. I'm putting Turbin's team at five, showing a lot of depth with J.K. Dobbins there. I really like Turbin's team at five. Fiala's the big dropper this week at six, not only because he didn't set his lineup, bad low-scoring week for him, really dropping at six, showing he's not paying attention. We know you got the Bari Fiala. We still love you. I got to come see it. Then at seven, I'm going to be putting Team Bassinger. Team's looking pretty much on the up and up. I got clocking at team spot number eight, also looking like they're moving up. And then we're going to kind of put Daniel at nine. And then the rest of it's just a shit show, and we're putting a tie. So it's been great. Love all of you. Vlad, always a pleasure talking with you. I hope everybody enjoys their week. Good luck, everybody.